Investment flash.
For real, the markets are actually catching a break on a Monday morning? Buddy, I am here for this rally.
Look, it is Monday, July 27th, and you are listening to Investment Flash, New York edition. I'm Marie, joined by Tom and Gerald. And honestly, Tom, don't get too comfortable just yet.
Yeah, look, Marie's right. The headline says Iran and the US are hitting the pause button. But the thing is, oil dropping below $90 isn't exactly a victory lap for the bulls when you look at the macro picture.
No way, Gerald. Brent crude slipping below 90 is huge. We saw the S&P 500 futures jump immediately because that energy tax on the consumer is finally easing up. We are only 3% off all-time highs now.
Wait a second, Tom. You're calling it a relief rally, and sure, the S&P 500 ETF is catching a bid, but did you see gold? The journal pointed out it actually rose during the pause. If the world is safer, why are people still buying the ultimate hedge?
Exactly. It's a bit of a head-scratcher. To be fair, the rationale for gold right now is murky at best, but it tells me the smart money isn't convinced this de-escalation has legs.
All right, but look at the crude oil ETF. It dropped 2% in the last session. That's a massive signal that the supply fear is draining out of the market. After being up over 100% year-to-date, that trade was getting way too crowded anyway.
Totally.
Spawn.
Right. So if oil cools, the Fed has more room to breathe this week. It's a clear path for a breakout.
Not so fast, mate. This is where I have to bring the mood down a bit. MarketWatch is flagging what they call a technical triple threat, and it's a nasty one. Rising yields, a surging dollar, and even with today's dip, expensive energy.
No, but that's exactly my point about the macro lens. The S&P 500 just broke below its short-term trend support. You can't just ignore the plumbing because one headline about a ceasefire came across the wire.
Gerald, come on. Yields at a 52-week high for the long-duration Treasury ETF? That's just more proof that people are dumping bonds to buy stocks.
I mean, that's one way to spin a bond market collapse, Tom. Honestly, seeing the dollar index hit new swing highs while stocks try to rally is like watching someone try to run a marathon in deep sand. It's exhausting for risk assets.
He's not wrong. The dollar breakout is a confirmed uptrend now. If the US dollar ETF stays at these highs, it's going to start eating into the earnings of every multinational in the index.
Okay, sure. But did you actually look at the individual movers? Uber is doing something wild in Africa. They're running an electric vehicle pilot, and demand is through the roof because gas prices are so high over there.
Yeah, look, that Bloomberg exclusive was interesting. Uber is down 17% year to date and trading at a 35% discount to its highs. It's essentially a value play hiding in a tech wrapper at this point.
I'm gonna push back here. One niche pilot in Africa isn't going to save Uber's margins if the global macro environment sours. It's a great story, but is it a catalyst for the whole stock?
It's about the proof of concept, Marie. If they can make the unit economics work with electric vehicles in under-penetrated markets, the upside is massive. Buddy, they are literally solving the fuel problem as we speak.
Fair enough, but let's talk about a stock that's going the other way, Palantir. The Financial Times dropped a bombshell on their NHS contract in the UK.
Oh, that was brutal. A study found their data platform basically did nothing to cut hospital discharge delays. For a company that sells itself on being the ultimate efficiency engine for governments, that is a huge reputational hit.
Wait, Palantir is already down 41% from its highs? How much more can it actually fall? Everyone knows government contracts are messy.
No, Tom. See, this is what I mean. If the flagship NHS deal gets audited or, heaven forbid, not renewed, the whole valuation model for their government business collapses. Calling the bottom on Palantir again? That's like the seventh bottom we've seen this cycle.
Yeah. It's becoming a bit of a habit for some analysts. Speaking of the UK, look at Vodafone. They actually raised profit guidance after Zadia Neal took a stake. The stock jumped over 4% in the last session.
Gerald, your love for unloved European telcos is truly inspiring. But 4%? That's a rounding error for Nvidia.
All right. But listen to the multiples. It's trading at 11 times forward earnings and has a price to book of 0.63. That is deep value. And with an activist like Neil involved, the operational cleanup is finally happening.
It's a structural play. When you have a billionaire putting his own money in and the company immediately raises guidance, you have to pay attention. It's the opposite of the hype we see in some of these tech names.
Speaking of hype, can we talk about Apple? Earnings are this week and CNBC is flagging some unusual options activity. The stock is only 1% away from an all-time high after a 20% rally since June.
The options market is pricing in a massive move, but they won't say which direction. It's basically a coin flip at this point. Analysts revising price targets after the stock has already rallied 20% is basically a free retirement plan for them, isn't it?
Oh, that's fair, but hold on. We need to address the most original take of the day. MarketWatch has this five-part test for AI data center stocks, looking at voter backlash over power consumption. Tom, you love Digital Realty, but have you considered if the neighbors are going to vote to shut down the power?
For real? People are worried about power? We're building the future of intelligence here. Digital Realty was up 11% last session on that new deal. The momentum is unstoppable.
Not if the local government pulls their tax incentives. The test screens for energy use and regulatory exposure. If one of those boxes gets ticked, the headline risk could derail the whole infrastructure boom.
The thing is, we've seen this movie before with other industries. Regulators are always late, but when they arrive with a sledgehammer. To be fair, most investors aren't even looking at the local political risk for these server farms.
I guess, but I still think the biggest risk is missing the move. Look at our call from yesterday's London edition. We said buy Broadcom, and it's already up another 2%. The AI train doesn't wait for city council meetings.
Wait a second, Tom. Yesterday, we also said sell technology equities broadly because of that AI hangover we discussed. You can't just pick the one winner and ignore the rest of the basket.
Hey, I contain multitudes, buddy. My bullishness is a moving target.
Clearly. Look, let's get to the core of it. Our view today is that while this Iran pause is a great headline, the technicals are showing deeper cracks. The S&P 500 ETF at $738 is just not priced for these rising yields.
Exactly. And what's missing from the conversation is the Fed's balance sheet. Quantitative tightening is still happening in the background, and the dollar is sucking up all the liquidity. If funding stresses spike during the Fed speech this week, that triple threat becomes a quadruple.
So what's the play? Are we just sitting on our hands?
Honestly, the cleanest second order trade might be long volatility dispersion. You sell the broad S&P index and buy calls on the names with real earnings momentum, like Apple or the big chip makers.
Right, because the divergence between the macro drag and the individual earnings beats is getting wider by the day. 100% agree on that.
That's the whole story.
Nailed it.
All right, we should probably let everyone get to the open. As always, none of this is investment advice. We're just three people looking at charts and trying to make sense of the chaos.
If you're just finding us, hit follow on Spotify or head over to investmentflash.com for the full digest with all the charts and source links. We've got a busy week ahead, so don't miss an episode.
Yeah, look, especially with the Fed on deck, it's going to be a wild one. We'll be back to break it all down for you very soon.
Thanks for listening. We're back tomorrow's London edition at 7:30 a.m. London time.
See you then, buddy.